I'm going to pray before we read the scriptures today. Let's go to the Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit be here with us today to prepare our hearts and minds to hear a message for you. We thank you for the power of your word. Let us submit to it at this time. May I not get in your way, Lord, and may you touch hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we're actually going to start a few verses earlier. We're going to start in Matthew 16, verse 13. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 972. And before I read the scripture, I'm going to give us a little orientation, right? It starts off when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. You all know where Caesarea Philippi is, right? It's right next to Albuquerque. No, it's not. Okay, so this is obviously a map of Israel. Well, it's obvious to me because I copied it. But here I will make it a little more obvious to you. So here's Caesarea Philippi. Let me do a highlighter here. We'll do the laser printer. Okay. Up in here is, this is Caesarea Philippi, right? And this is Mount Hermon. These are the northern region, the northern boundaries of Israel. Okay? And if you go all the way down, you will find Bethlehem, and you will find Jerusalem. And then over here is the most important place we know about. That's Emmaus, right there. Okay. But right now we're going to be focusing on Jesus' ministry. He starts here in Caesarea Philippi, and then from there he's going to go to the Mount of Transfiguration up here, Mount Hermon. And here we have an actual picture of Mount Hermon. There is snow on Mount Hermon most all of the year. So, with that orientation, let us read the scripture. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asks. "What do you say? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Hence our hymn, our opening hymn. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good to be here. It's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Please keep those handy because we are going to be in the scripture quite a bit today, more so than usual, if that's possible. Today we begin a journey. This is the first Sunday of Lent, and Palm Sunday is the last Sunday in Lent. As Jesus prepares disciples for his pending passion, death, and resurrection, likewise, I will serve as a guide on our Lenten journey. So let's all get on the bus. If you were discerning during our reading of these verses, you likely realize that there are dozens of sermons in this chapter worth of scripture. The challenge is not for me to find things to share. The challenge for me is to make sure we stop at the most important scenic outlooks. You know, when you're driving on vacation and it says scenic outlook ahead. So my opportunity is to choose which one are the most appropriate for our journey that leads to the top of Mount Hermon, the mountain of transfiguration. You might be wondering why I chose such a large, complex, overflowing portion of scripture. Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit first chose it when he inspired Matthew to write it, and then the Holy Spirit guided me in selecting it. Because it starts with Jesus' question, right? Who is Jesus? That's where we began our reading. The question he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" One of the most important questions you will ever answer, right? Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, Jesus is many things. But the ultimate answer is given by Father God himself on this Mount of Transfiguration, right? "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So I didn't write the scripture. The Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to have Jesus asking this question, and then we have God the Father answering the question. After a couple of weeks of wrestling with the scripture that became so obvious to me, sorry I didn't notify you earlier, Hannah, but I realized that we have to include all of it. It is one account. It is connected. Now, our New International Version, which we read together, "This is my Son whom I love," I prefer the translations that say that "this is my beloved Son," because they are more accurate. More accurate translations. Why do I say that? If the Father was only expressing a sentiment, then "whom I love" would be perfectly fine. But there's more being declared by God here. King David was the beloved of Yahweh, God Almighty, the great I Am, right? And David's son, King Solomon, was referred to as beloved. So there's a pattern in the scriptures. We find Paul's most concise version of the gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. That's his gospel. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Prophecy said that the Messiah would come through the line of David. And we have God's promise to David in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring, singular, to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. So, this is an important point. In using the term beloved son, God is announcing the kingdom of God and Jesus as king of that kingdom. Now, in the title of this message, I use an acronym, which happens to be a real word that also points to Jesus. Solar speaks of things related to or caused by the sun, S-U-N, right? It refers to things produced or operated by the action of sun's light or heat or energy. And the acronym stands for Son of Righteousness and Love, right? Solar. Go back there for a second. Had it up all service, so I'm sure you saw it all, but just as a reminder, right? Solar power, Son of Love and Righteousness power. I intentionally had selected Psalm 36 for a call to worship. We must always remember that God is both perfectly loving and perfectly righteous. Psalm 36 reminds us of this and says, the Lord's justice is like the great deep, the deep of the oceans. In God there is life, in God there is light. The psalmist entreats the Lord to continue his love and his righteousness towards those who know God, us. It's almost like the psalmist chose this sermon title for me. Now, we have here on the screen a verse from Hebrews. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint or representation or express image, depending on the translation. You get that? You see Jesus, you see God the Father, right? He is the exact representation, the exact nature of God. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Not only does this verse use a description that we can easily see associated with brilliant sunshine, radiance, it tells us that the Son is exactly like the Father. And what did Jesus tell Philip? Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. On Mount Hermon, Jesus is transfigured. His face shone like the sun, S-U-N, sun. His clothes were dazzling white. Jesus' essence was magnificently revealed to Peter, James, and John. His face shone like the sun. Because the Father declares Jesus as his Son, we know that Jesus must possess the same attributes of his Father and our Father. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is love. In fact, Jesus is the love and righteousness of God our Father. It's impossible to miss the prominent theme of Jesus as the light of the world, right? John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, please pull out your Bibles again. I want you to remain focused. I'm going to demonstrate this unifying theme in the Bible by walking through many scriptures. And I want you to follow along with me as the evidence is developed. It's going to be a little work on your part, because the prophets pointed to the light that was to come. So the first scripture we're going to look at is Isaiah 42, verse 6. You'll find it on page 717 in your pew Bible. 7:17. The reason I ask you to read along with it is because I want you to, sometimes you can get tired of hearing the pastor's voice, right? It's like that's when mom says, wait till dad gets home, right? Because the kids are used to mom's voice all day long, right? So I don't want you to zone out because you're tired of hearing the pastor's voice. I want you to see the scripture, and I want it to make an impression on your mind of how it's so magnificently connected. Okay, 42:6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, you all probably remember that Gentiles are everyone who's not a Jew. All right. Now turn to page 739. Isaiah, it's on the screen. I put the page number on the screen, too. Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Now please turn to page 773. 773, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That's the Messiah. All right. The next scripture you can find on page 951. 951, Malachi. This is the last chapter in the Old Testament, right? Malachi 4, page 951. And I'm going to read all six verses. This passage serves as the closure of the Old Testament, right? And it acts as a bridge to the New Testament. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, that the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So the Old Testament closes with this promise of judgment and the promise of a redeemer, right? The Messiah. And then the scriptures, the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures, are silent for 400 years. And then we come into the New Testament. And what do we find at the start of the New Testament? The gospel accounts of Jesus' birth, right? And we're going to go to John chapter 1 on page 1049. Likely this is familiar to you. Of course, it starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? That sound familiar? Okay, that's where we're at, the Gospel of John. We'll start in the fourth verse. In him, the Word made flesh, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. All right, now jump to verse 9. Just a couple verses down. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And then let's go to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the closing of our Holy Scriptures continues this theme of Jesus as the glorious Son, S-O-N, and Son, S-U-N. Please turn to the last book of your Bible, Revelation, chapter 1. You'll find it on page 1215. Revelation 1, I'll be reading 12 through 16. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And to close out this little trip through the scriptures, let's go to the 21st chapter on page 1231. Revelation 21, verse 22, starting page 1231. 22nd verse. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. All right, that ends our travel through the scripture. So how many of you have solar panels? Anybody? A few. All right. Now, my son, he lives in Port Republic. He had his put on about 15 months ago. And a couple years ago, I did investigate having them installed in my own home. More and more people have them on their roofs, right? You see them all the time. And in Absecon, there on Pitney Road, you can see the elementary and middle school there. They have like a whole field filled with solar panels, right? Kind of looks like that, right? It's a big fenced-in area, and they have row upon row of these solar panels to power the schools. Now, I'm probably the only one this ever happens to, but people from the solar power companies are calling me all the time to convince me how much I need solar panels. Does that happen to anybody else? Yeah, everybody, right? And then not only do they have people call it, but they have robocalls, right, where these machines, recordings call to convince us that I need solar power. And people go door to door through the neighborhoods with clipboards to educate you about why you need to have solar panel, what all the advantages are, what the benefits are. I get email solicitations for solar power. They send out advertisements in the mail. There are solar power advertisements in the newspaper. And when I'm on Facebook over here on the right-hand side, I don't know how they do that, but whatever you're interested in or not even interested in, ads come up. And there, solar power ads on my social media, right? All over the place. What are they telling us? You need solar power. I need solar power. Everyone needs solar power. Solar power will save the world. As we drive around, we see the installed solar panels ourselves. They're like billboards blasting their message. And while people are waiting to have their solar energy systems installed, the company puts a sign out front to announce it, right in the front of their yard, right up against the street. Not only that, If you give referrals for friends and neighbors, you get discounts on your installed system. All that's given me a lot of ideas. What if we promoted the Son of Love and Righteousness with the same fervor that the solar energy industry promotes their product, right? What if we could get government incentives for our industry and the people that receive the blessings of the Son of Love and Righteousness? What a great idea to use this referral concept, right? Hey, friend, you know what? You should see the power system I have for my whole life. You can have it too. Do we do that? Do we share the blessing that we have received for making the Son of Righteousness the power for our life? Take up thy cross, the Savior said, if thou wouldst my disciple be. Deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Wider grows the kingdom, reign of love and light. For it we must labor till our faith is sight. Prophets have proclaimed it, martyrs testify. Poets sung its glory, heroes for it died. Forward through the ages, in unbroken line, move the faithful spirits at the call divine. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word, for its power, its depth, its breadth, its sufficiency for all things related to salvation, its revelation of our Savior. Lord, may we see the truths, submit to them, live by them, and share the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, we know that there is a huge power shortage in our culture. Let us share the blessings that you have given us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.